The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, we know that misinformation is literally misleading, but also misinformation can kill. I'm joined by David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape. David, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, the killing in this case, we're referring to a woman called Shemirani, Kate Shemirani, who's the mother of a young adult who died.
Yes, so we've kind of alluded and I think discussed Kate Shemirani before, but if you can cast your mind back to the pandemic, in the year 2000 or so, she became very popular on Twitter. She currently has about 80,000 followers on X, the successor platform. By spreading conspiracy theories about COVID-19. In fact, she was so egregious that she lost her license to practice. The Nursing and Midwifery Council in the UK just found that her spreading of COVID-19 misinformation was putting the public at significant risk of harm. So she's been debarred for 4 years. Now, she went back in the news recently because her 23-year-old daughter died earlier this year, Paloma. And what's been playing out quite a lot in public is that her son, her surviving son, who was the twin brother of Paloma, Gabriel, has said in public that his mother is responsible, or at least largely responsible, for her death. Because when she got a very treatable, survivable cancer, Kate Shemirani would very strongly encourage her daughter not to get chemotherapy. And she did not get it, and she is now dead. And last week, there was the public hearing in the UK where the coroner gave their report on the case.
And what did the coroner have to say?
So because Paloma was an adult, and there was, we'll get into the social services bit, she was technically allowed to make her own decisions. But I'm going to quote that they said that the UK coroner was quite damning about Shemirani's role in her daughter's premature death. She said, "I found Mrs. Shemirani's care of her daughter incomprehensible, but not unlawful killing." And later said, "It seems that if Paloma had been supported and encouraged to accept her diagnosis and considered chemotherapy with an open mind, she would have probably followed that course." So they're fairly strong words. And of course, the coroner can't rule on the legality. Again, Paloma was an adult. But her brother, her surviving twin brother, Gabriel, has been very vocal. He's talked to the BBC recently about how he blames his mother and their years of being brought up in a conspiracy theory household for the death of his sister.
I mean, the theories they were surrounded by as children, the royal family are, in fact, shape-shifting lizards.
That's a very old school one. That's the surnames escaped me. The famous David, who used to put that one out there, my namesake. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the shape-shifting lizard is a very popular one. But also, she was big into 9/11 being an inside job. And this is a thing called conspiratorial ideation. It's the recognition that if we accept one conspiracy theory, we become increasingly likely to accept other ones. Because if you can accept that there's one major cover-up going on in the whole world, it's just very trivial then to start accepting that other things are also cover-ups. Now, and that also fed into health misinformation, unfortunately, for the Shemirani family.
Now, the whole question of vaccination, there are fears that numbers of children being vaccinated will go down or has gone down. What are the public health authorities saying now about vaccination rates?
It's a very strange one because most public health authorities cannot compel a parent to vaccinate. So if you have a household where one or both parents are leaning towards anti-vaccine conspiracy theories, that's a real problem. Now, in my stuff on Instagram, I get questions about this from parents all the time when one of the parents doesn't want to vaccinate because they follow some social media account that says they shouldn't. But this has become a real problem. We know that in areas or vaccination rates are quite depressed in parents that embrace conspiracy theory. An author called Karen Douglas and Daniel Jolly in 2014 did a very famous article where they looked at the fact that anti-vaccine misinformation and conspiracy theory was a major motivator of parents not getting vaccinated. So it's telling, and unfortunately, children are the most likely to suffer the negative repercussions of not getting vaccinated. We've seen recent measles deaths in the UK and the US, and they've been overwhelmingly in children. And these children don't have the right to make that decision.
And the issue extends beyond vaccination. Other conditions that children might encounter are being treated in unorthodox ways, which are simply not effective.
Absolutely. Well, this is a case in point. This is a survivable cancer that, due to alternative therapy, misinformation, conspiracy theory, a young lady died, which she could have probably lived. And this story plays out all the time in cancer research. It is very, very common for patients to go off their prescribed treatment because they fall victim to some conspiracy theory or misinformation. And most of the conspiracy theories about health, say someone saying, I have an alternative cure for cancer, they will often end up deriding actual conventional therapy. They'll call it a poison or they'll call it whatever. And this has been seen, there's a very famous bit of research in the US where it looked at patients that fall for this, they're twice as likely to die per unit time as patients that follow the course with their oncologists. But it's not just cancer. Children with autism are particularly hardly targeted by this. A lot, about 7% of autistic children have been exposed to chelation therapy or, you know, heavy metal detox therapy, if you will, where they have their blood replaced. It's ineffective. It's dangerous. It doesn't target the cause of autism, except these parents have fallen victim to conspiracy theory and they've subjected their children to quite a dangerous therapy. There was even a case of bleach enemas being given to children with autism due to some alternative medicine conspiracy theory that made it into the mainstream. In fact, even in Ireland in 2013, there was a legal case over it when the Garda had to act against children being subjected to this. And it's just a really important reminder that conspiracy theories aren't just harmless quirks that you can engage in for a bit of fun. If people really believe them, and these parents obviously did, they can cause serious harm to their own children. Now, how we as a society deal with that, that's an open question.
Now, moving on to Joe Wicks and his killer protein bar. What was that all about?
This is a straight. So there was a bit of a stunt last week, which turned out to be publicity for his new documentary, which just aired, where he made a protein bar and that he claimed was full of all these ingredients, ultra-processed foods, ultra-processed ingredients that was linked to increased risks of cancer and all sorts of other problems. And it's very scary. But he was already getting pushback on that stunt last week, not least because Joe Wicks has, you know, promoted protein bars in the past, but that's neither here nor there. The real pushback he was getting was from dietitians and public health scientists who are far less concerned with the supposedly deadly ingredients. And we'll get into that in a second because they really aren't. And more concerned with the fact that he's scaremongering about food, which is going to harm the most vulnerable in society and increase the amount of eating disorders that we already see being presented in clinics.
Now, the question of a correlation is not causation, which is an old adage in science. And you would give an example, ice cream sales and drowning.
Absolutely. So we noticed that when ice cream sales go up, so do deaths by drowning. And what we always give to our first year students when they look at this is what's going on there. And of course, ice cream is not causing people to get into water and die. It's that it's correlated with good weather. It's a consequence of dairy. You know, we're not dying because of dairy consumption. It's because good weather is associated with both. So it's a lurking confounder, if you want to use the statistical term for it. And when you get to nutritional science, that happens all the time. Now, ultra-processed foods are interesting. They are the ultra-refined things that we often eat, and they make up a significant part of our diet. But the first problem with it is that they elude any single definition, because there are multiple competing definitions. You know, soy milk is ultra-processed, but some people will argue other things, like even coffee are. It's hard to break it down. But more importantly, the outcomes on that are inherently confounded in ways that are really easy to misinterpret. For example, we probably all should be, ideally in an ideal world, cooking, you know, refined chicken breast chicken breast for dinner, but we might occasionally have chicken nuggets because it's cheaper and easier. So when you start looking at health outcomes, it gets confusing. There used to be some suggestion that maybe ultra-processed foods were associated with a small but noticeable increase in health, poor health outcomes. However, that is more than likely other things going on. For example, poorer people will rely more on quick and easy, high-calorie, ultra-processed foods. That's a consequence of being poor, not of UFPs themselves.
So education and poverty, or lack of education and poverty, may have more to do with bad health outcomes than the ultra-processed foods that people are consuming. There are a lot of things going on.
Almost certainly. And that's why this simple, and in his documentary, he's getting all the criticism for too, Richie Kerwin in the Irish Examiner this week wrote a very good piece. As a nutritional scientist, as a nutritionist, he was able to say, this is all nonsense. If you scaremonger people over a food source, which is often quite easy, for example, if your children will eat, the example he gave, if they'll eat their vegetables with tomato ketchup, well, tomato ketchup is ultra-processed, but they're still eating their vegetables. So you're throwing out the baby with the bathwater. So his narrative is not only missing the point, it's creating food anxiety and leads to disordered eating. There's a whole brand of supermarket scaremongering, where, and it's very popular on social media, and Joe Wicks is leaning into this, where people walk around supermarkets going, this ingredient is terrible. These people are all unified on the fact that they're entirely unqualified, like Joe Wicks is. There's plenty of others in America and Ireland doing this as well, and they get huge followings. And here's the issue. If you demonize foods and you're non-qualified to do so and you take the context out, you encourage people to be scared of food and you lead to disordered eating.
David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.